We have yet to get your wife on the podcast, but if she wants to just randomly show up, make two insanely complicated cocktails, hand us each one, and then leave with a ninja smoke bomb.
It's very nice. It's not. I mean, this is a proper drink.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's insanely complicated, but that's some.
There were like six ingredients to it.
All right.
I'm sorry. There's no absinthe wash, Mike. You're right. It's not as complicated as yours. You're right. I'm sorry to hurt your feelings.
Thank you.
That's all I wanted to hear.
So this has, this is called a paper crane, not a paper plane. It was based on the paper plane cocktail, which is a legit thing.
It's legit. It's totally legit.
It's a newer cocktail, though, I guess.
Okay.
And the paper crane takes the paper plane cocktail and gives it a little bit of a...
ginger beer.
A ginger beer thing. The ginger flavor. And we found the paper crane variant in a Japanese restaurant in Toronto.
Hanimoto?
Something like that. And I'm trying to pull up the ingredients.
It has Aperol.
It's a bit strong, yeah. It's
ginger Aperol, beer,
ginger bourbon. Ginger beer, bourbon, and that other liqueur something.
Amar something.
Yeah. It's some other Italian-y thing. Amaro Nonino.
Whatever Amaro's that is. No kids.
It is a another Italian liqueur. So this has two Italian liqueurs.
Yeah.
And the bourbon that we're using is Red Saw bourbon. It's another local product from Honeyway Falls Distillery.
Technically, not bourbon.
Not bourbon?
No, you actually have to be from Bourbon
County. But, okay.
Technically?
A bourbon-style whiskey. Is that legit enough?
Bourbon requires both it to be from Bourbon County, and also there is a specific mash that this does not, I can tell it does not use that exact bourbon mash.
Okay.
It's a very subtle difference.
Huh.
But, you know, when you have Maker's Mark, when you have Basil Hayden's, when you have any of those, you know, there's a slight smoothness to it that comes from the mash.
Mm-hmm.
And also because little fairies that only live in Bourbon County come and sprinkle dust on the bourbon. That's why nothing tastes, you know.
So, as our local bourbon expert, or aficionado, or whatever you'd like to say.
Let's say aficionado, yeah.
So, you did sample the bourbon itself.
Mm-hmm.
And you thought it was a little harsh.
It's rough.
But smoky.
I described it as a bourbon trying to be a scotch.
Okay.
Like a space, no, not a space, yeah, maybe a Speyside scotch. Yeah, it was it was smoky, which I liked. It was not strong in the vanilla. The vanilla notes were not immediately prevalent, which is actually one thing I really like about bourbon. So I missed that. And that, because it didn't have that roundness, the smokiness, and then just the alcohol, just liquor, kind of made it rougher, like a stronger flavor.
So I would maybe use something a little bit more smooth in this drink, and if I were to
with
make
this
it again.
Drink, you're probably okay because you have so many things.
Yeah, and you know, there's also the lemon juice. I forgot to mention the lemon juice. And it,
yeah, because your wife said there's a lot of citrus notes.
Yeah,
lemon juice. Was there? No, there was no grapefruit.
No, but Aperol, that one of the liqueurs, the Aperol, I think had citrusy stuff in it.
Mm. It looks like grapefruit juice.
Yeah, it does. but this, it's very tasty. It's what, I mean, you're drinking something that like a nice restaurant would have.
Right.
And that's what this drink kind of gives me. Oh, this is a fancy drink.
Is that why you're wearing a top hat?
Yes.
Okay. Because again.
And the monocle.
The no pants is fine, but the top hat and monocle and the no pants is an interesting dichotomy.
That's what I was going for. Exactly.
Okay. High five, bro.
Caught on to that.
Yeah, I picked this shit up. Hi, we are buddies in space. You are.
That's Michael Smith, and you are.
And Michael Cross. Just trying to make sure we knew who we were.
Yeah,
we are buddies in space.
Buddies in space. We're jumping in. I wanted to bring up that game that we finished.
Time stories.
Time story. T.I.M.E. stories.
It's an acronym. Does the T in time stand for time?
I don't know.
Probably temporal.
Probably.
Yeah, it's got to be temporal.
So there's a board game, and I think I mentioned it a little bit in the last podcast. A little bit. So it's a weird game to describe because it takes things out of a bunch of different other game types.
It's strongly narrative.
Yes.
And so much as you create a narrative.
There's dice rolling.
There's some, but no dice towers.
I should have brought the dice tower. That would have saved us so many time units.
So many time units and so many, like, just carpal tunnel twinges. It has a Groundhog's Day feel to it.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a lot of cards, and there's a board.
Mm-hmm. Some quantum leaping.
Yes, very quantum leap sort of theme. So you're traveling back in time to, and it's so vague about this, to fix a time fault that has occurred. And then there's no explanation for that.
There were a few times I would stop and start thinking about it. I'm like, nope, just stop. Future Man makes more sense than this game.
Yeah.
Because it's mixing sci-fi and other shit by the time of the end game. I was like, all right.
So yeah, you're sent back in time to fix something, and you get thrown into the bodies.
Fix MacGuffin.
What, you know, we're going to try to do this without spoiling this game,
right?
Which is very difficult.
It is
very difficult to talk about this game.
But I wish there were things I had known about the mechanics of the game before I had played, without ruining it.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a public service, Mike.
A little bit.
And I know you're just trying to put off throwing up. But I'm gonna put you in danger.
I am probably gonna vomit later on this. Yeah.
But we'll get there.
All right.
And it has nothing to do with the drink.
So yeah, trying to be super non-spoil about this game because it was fun. It was a good experience.
I really liked it.
There's no replay to this game. Once you're done with it, you're done.
This game is zero replay value because if you have any memory whatsoever, you would just roll through it really quick and playing it.
Right. The caveat to that though is that the scenario that we played, and that was, you know, a scenario is about 3 to 5 hours depending on how fast your crew plays.
Apparently, we're not fast
or very. We are not.
We're not fast or very good. At being time cops or whatever.
And it's easy to do this in installments over, like...
We spread out across three nights.
Three nights.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. So in that sense, not bad for a money's worth. But a scenario that... And the game comes with one scenario... is a good-sized deck of cards.
Mm-hmm.
And once you have completed the scenario, the mission, whatever you want to call it...
The deck of cards is utterly useless.
It's gone. Yeah, you will never want to do it again.
You could give it to a friend pointless. Who didn't play it, but right, exactly.
If you were just... If you're like, hey, let's see how fast we could do it if we really wanted to, you could, but that would be silly.
It just brings back bad memories of that day we wasted on Arkham.
Yeah. But they do have expansions for this.
And which are really just
a deck of cards, I think.
But it's continuing the story. It seems like there's it set us up for the next expansion.
Maybe, but there's no real, there's nothing that wasn't resolved within the mission itself.
That was
there's no loose threads.
Yeah. No.
There's no continuing story as far as I can tell.
No, but your the surprise you got at the end watching your face was pretty hilarious.
There are some surprises when you get to the end. But yeah, you can get another mission.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope it's significantly less expensive than the game itself.
Jesus, yeah.
Because it wasn't a cheap game.
It should be like Pathfinder where you just buy a pack of cards.
Yeah, it should be. I'm going to assume that's what it is, but it's probably not a really cheap pack of cards.
No, I'm sure it's like 20, 30 bucks. So let's talk about the box, because the box is fantastic.
People don't talk that much about, wow, this game had a great box.
So talking about the box of Time Stories is like talking about the fingerprint scanner on an LG V series phone. No one fucking gets it until they've tried it, and then they're like, oh, yeah, that is really fucking awesome. Now, I had a similar experience with Waterdeep. Lords of Waterdeep has a great box.
Mm-hmm.
But Lords of Waterdeep is a one-time playthrough.
Okay.
This game... you almost definitely are going to have to do multiple runs of the story to complete it.
Yes.
And that's not ruining anything, but I think it's good to point that out.
Yes.
I would say that the base game, it is physically impossible to beat it on the first try.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is
remarkably lucky. No, I can't imagine.
I cannot imagine. Because you only have a finite amount of things you can do before you run out of time.
Right.
Think Groundhog's Day. So the goal is to try to figure out and stop the bad thing from happening, but... there's too much to do on the first playthrough to kind of get everything you need.
Right. So you get a little bit, and then you can go through, in theory, and I don't want to spoil what mm-hmm. happens in it, mm-hmm. you can go through multiple times.
Which we certainly did.
Cycles.
Right.
Replaying the same mission, But say, okay, well, we first time we went to this room, and this room, and then we ran out of time. Okay, let's go to the rooms that we haven't explored,
right?
And then see what we can put together out of that.
Unless you have me playing the cocaine addict, in which case I'm going to be going to the same place every time.
Spoiler: there's a cocaine addict in the game, and you can play this character.
Hey, he's great.
He was really handy.
He was super really handy. Useful. He just has coke for everyone.
Probably the most useful character in the game. Yeah. So highly recommend that one.
But the box is awesome because not only does it have extremely well thought out, just designed so that like everything has its place. But the cool thing that you noticed was if you were to stop halfway through a run and everyone had items, everyone had tokens assigned to them, the game box has all these extra spaces that can actually be used to divvy up each person's inventory.
Right.
And keep it
and
separate.
And keep track of where you were, what you had, what the team had, how far along you were, how much time you'd already used. All of that, just put in the box in the right way as designed,
and then you take it out and you're taking it out. Okay, right,
done. So
in the past, we've circumvented that by like taking pictures of their phones, like in Pathfinder,
right,
to try to remember what the fuck we had.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, I was really impressed with that. So I would really recommend this game. I actually really liked it.
I would recommend finding a friend who's already played it.
I was just gonna say, buy it used, borrow it from a buddy, go in on it with a group that maybe has different friends, and then just pass the fucker around.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I'm sure it looks very slick, so I'm sure it was in the $50+ range.
My only kind of criticism with it, and it's so hard to do this without spoiling the game, but I'm going to walk that line. Just pay attention to everything you find. Look at it, like. Take pictures of stuff with your cell phone, as we mentioned. I would definitely recommend doing that.
Yeah, we did.
That was one of the first things we did, and it proved to be very, very helpful.
Yeah, I will say that I was a really big fan of the final puzzle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it because it was a legitimate group effort, and we didn't cheat.
All right.
You disagree?
Did we though? A little bit, the tiniest bit.
To get to the puzzle, yes.
Okay.
On the puzzle, no.
Okay.
There was a what the fuck is wrong with this game? We must be missing stuff. And then I had to look up.
Yes.
And then I had that, oh, I'm a dumb shit moment. Well, no, we're all dumb shits moment. It wasn't just me. But that was I also looked it up. So don't look anything up about this game until you are done with it or about to beat it, because it will ruin it. But I did discover that the mistake we were making was very common.
Yes.
Amongst other groups.
Well, it's, and that's the thing that I'm kind of trying to dance around is that there's a lot of, up until a certain point, there's a lot of, okay, moving, rolling dice, looking at cards.
Strategizing on your next move. And
yeah. And then suddenly there's a puzzle.
Yeah.
And it's not something that we expected.
Because nothing in the game had really established it, that it was coming.
Yes.
And then suddenly the whole game mattered.
So I think that we've said enough about
it. I agree.
Without ruining everything.
Mm-hmm.
Just be prepared when you hit.
You'll know.
When you hit a point, you're like, okay, game on.
Photographic memory and go.
So what else we got?
The Senate.
There was something else.
Oh, okay.
There is?
A funny little fact about the Senate bill.
Oh, my gosh.
I find no, it's hilarious. It's actually very funny.
Okay.
You were gonna
I think I know what you're talking about, but go ahead.
Well, no. Were you going to talk about something else?
No.
Game related?
No.
No. The Senate tax bill passed narrowly. And
it passed in the Senate. So now it has to go back to the House.
Right, and it's not going to pass as it is because of the story, but I'm just saying the House bill passed, the Senate bill is past the Senate. But as everyone knows, it's such a fucking hack job that they were, up until the night they voted, they were writing in changes to it.
Yes.
And they had made so many changes, they knew that they had to go back and put the alternative minimum tax.
Yes. And the reason they're doing this is they have like there's only so many, there's math involved. They can only
rack up so much of a deficit.
Rack up so much, like $1.5 trillion.
Yeah.
Only $1.5 trillion.
Only, I mean, it's a drop in the bucket. Someone is filthy rich and never makes a mistake like Donald Trump. It's a drop in the bucket.
So they're trying to work out the numbers to get it so it's only going to cost us an extra $1.5 trillion.
Right. So that's the backstory. So they figured it out and they were writing it in. But what happened was they basically needed to ditch the alternative minimum tax. And then they're like, well, no, we need it, but we need to drop it below 20% where it is.
And this is the one for businesses.
For businesses specifically. And in the end...
So it's going to affect nobody who's listening.
Nobody listening.
At least not this part.
Nope. So the funny thing is that they rushed this through, no committee, no public viewing. It wasn't finished being written until the second they voted on it. I mean, everything about this is bad politics. And I'm not even going to bother getting on a soapbox. No one listens to our podcast who disagrees with this.
Right.
But the funny thing is they fucked up and they forgot to change the minimum alternative tax or whatever it is when they put it back in. So now businesses have a maximum of 20% alternative minimum tax and a minimum of 20% alternative minimum tax. Yeah. So they can claim as many fancy loophole credits as they want, but mm-hmm. they can't actually fucking use them.
All right. So they actually closed loopholes, which they totally weren't trying to do.
They did not want to do this at all. They fucked up so bad, and it passed that way.
Yeah.
Like, this is a no-backseat situation where they have to vote again on a new bill, which they are not going to want to do.
Yeah, but they'll do it.
Mm. Won't they fix it in committee, though, when they try to meld the House and Senate bills?
It's going through.
No, anyway, I know. It's still funny to laugh at stupid people doing horrible things.
Yeah. 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 Funny and sad.
Well, it's mostly sad. Just like the Supreme Court allowing the travel ban to go through today.
Anyway. we went from talking to games to just having a real bummer moment.
Republicans are stupid. What were you saying?
Did we talk about Future Man in the last episode?
We talked about it with Jake.
With Jake.
Yeah.
So since then, we've both watched some episodes of it, and we're enjoying it. Yeah.
Did you watch any more since we talked?
No, I've only seen the first three, and you've seen more of them now.
Okay, you were 100% incorrect, and Jake was 100% right. There is a James Cameron episode.
Oh, okay.
Like a James Cameron episode.
Okay, because the second episode was very Terminator 2 for me.
Right, but that's a Terminator episode. This is a James Cameron-centric episode.
All right.
Which we haven't gotten to, but the groundwork has just been laid with that there's no way not to do what they're going to do.
Okay.
I will say that by, I think, the episode you've seen, or maybe the episode after that. Yeah, the episode after the one you're up to is when the show really started to take off in my mind.
Oh, well, good.
They start to do more exploring these futuristic post-apocalyptic characters in a modern setting. They're playing with that more, and it gets very funny. And the actors, Wolf and Tiger, get to really fucking goof around.
So for anybody who missed that episode, it's a story about a guy. It starts with a very last Starfighter.
Super last Starfighter.
Obviously last Starfighter.
They, in fact, say, this is just the last Starfighter. Yeah.
People
video game Excalibur test. So this kid beats an unbeatable video game. People show up in the future, tell him he's the savior. He happens to be masturbating at that moment and jizzes on one of their legs at that moment. That is important because it sets the tone of the show.
It does set the tone of the show. So he's their, they think he's their savior. Obviously not, because he's just a schlub who's good at video games.
And mopping floors.
Yeah.
Although I'm not sure if he's actually good at mopping floors.
So they end up doing time travel-y stuff. And he's not real helpful so far from what I've seen.
But they're incredibly...
It's funny because it's... just to riff on this for a second. The game that he's playing is like one of those over-the-top Duke Nukem sort of first-person shooters where it's got that voice that's always
the gravelly...
Rip his balls off! Yeah. And it's like ridiculous stuff like that. Like, I don't even know... Well, Duke Nukem probably has stuff like that. But most first-person shooters aren't that gratuitous and ridiculous, but this one is.
Did you notice that they yell?
Yeah, but then when the characters from the future show up, that's the stuff that they're saying. They're all saying that sort of
stuff. They're announcing the things they're doing, like skull stab. Yeah. And there was a moment where Eric and I were like, why the fuck are they shouting these things?
Because it fits with the video game.
Well, but that's where it starts to get weird, because they created the video game and sent it back in the past, so that they create it based on what modern video games are like, or... But they
you're
say...
You're overthinking this
well,
way too
much. Well, they say in the
much.
Trailer not to think too hard about
yeah,
the time
and
travel
don't. Just enjoy the ride and have fun.
No,
silly, violent...
Gratuitous
everything.
It's if you liked This Is the End, you were going to love this movie. Because it's very much in that same vein, and a lot of the same people are behind it.
Okay, yeah.
Seth Rogen and...
Mm-hmm.
The episode of Blowjob Before Dying is probably my favorite so far.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, that's two paths where you are. But yeah, we've been enjoying each episode as we go after episode three, especially. It just hit its stride and it just got really funny. So yeah,
Future Man. There's that. Future Man, is it Hulu?
Yes, Hulu exclusive.
All right.
So there's only, I think, 8 episodes. Oh, we started American Gods last night.
Oh, yeah. Is that on Hulu, too, now?
No, that's a Starz exclusive.
So we got to get Starz to watch this?
We hunkered down and we're trying to do it in the 7-day trial.
Okay.
So you get a 7-day trial. I mean, it's like, you know, we could pay for a month of it if we need. That's the great thing, because unlike Papa Smike with his fear of HBO and Time Warner, you just fucking do this online and turn it on and off as you see fit.
Mm-hmm.
They just take your money or don't. But yeah, so we're doing a Starz trial. So we watched the first episode. I love Neil Gaiman. I read the book years ago.
Right.
It seems extremely true to the book.
I'm intrigued by it because we just watched both of the John Wick films. And I really like that one, the one actor who's in American Gods.
Oh, yes. The one who owns the hotel.
The guy who owns the hotel in the John Wick movies.
Erica hasn't figured out who he is yet. Which I'm really enjoying, because she's trying to. There's a mystery to him in American Gods.
Oh.
But he's great. I mean, as funny as he is...
He's one of the best parts of John Wick. I mean...
Oh, yeah. But I think he like, ratchets that up in this.
Okay.
Because he's such a funny, like, con man vagabond in this.
Mm-hmm.
But there's obviously weird shit going on.
I can't remember the actor's name.
I can't either. But he's from Deadwood.
Okay.
And he was on one episode of Game of Thrones.
He so reminds me of Al Pacino.
I can see that. He's got a similar face, although his acting style is not very similar.
No, but it's very big, though. It's still very big.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's super stylized. Awesome cinematography. He's going to bother you.
I need to look up his name. Go ahead. Keep talking.
I've always known from the commercials back when American Gods was coming out that the visuals were stunning. So we watched it on the OLED. We watched it downstairs. But I loved it. I mean, the story of, you know, the pantheons at war and all that shit, it's really cool, and it's visually gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And really violent. I mean, like, people being cleaved in two every 5 seconds. It's really violent, but that's just, you know, it's sort of Neil Gaiman's panache, pastiche, pistachio. I'm just going to start saying P-words while you look up this thing on the phone.
And
I should have melted.
It is Ian
one.
McShane.
Ian McShane, yes.
There we go.
Yeah, all of the cast is great. But the show is fucking weird. I mean, Neil Gaiman is weird,
mm-hmm.
which is great. And they really kept the weirdness. I'm trying not to spoil stuff, but yeah.
Okay.
Like, if you're like, oh, I like Will and Grace, and I like procedurals, and I like safe comic, don't watch this. It's really going to fuck with your head. But
I've only heard bits about it, but it seems like it mixes, like, allegory and fantasy in a weird way.
Well, the show is about, I'll say this much. If you're familiar with Neil Gaiman, then you know that one of the things he is extremely obsessed with is that Campbell aspect of mythology, but specifically faith, belief, and mm-hmm. the power that having a belief in something engenders to the thing you believe in.
Right.
So that, I mean, that is the crux of this story.
Right.
And the super weird thing I'm thinking of is that is what that scene is about in the first episode. But so...
And I think that actually had a lot of that, you got a lot of that flavor, that theme in Sandman too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, abso-fucking-lutely. Yeah. And did you ever see the old, I think it was BBC, Neverwhere?
Oh, I think I watched a little bit.
It wasn't amazing.
It was a little rough. It was a little hard to get through.
It was a little overacted and a little under budget.
Yeah, but I think I started watching. It was like, I can't go there.
Yeah, it doesn't hold up the way some other stuff might. But yeah, it's always been something he's interested in, the concept of like, well, if people stop noticing you, what happens to you? Mm-hmm. And if people believe in something, what does that thing do? Like, you know, it's a really interesting concept. It's that Campbell-esque understanding mythology on a deeper level.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's always what this has been about. Yeah,
and of course, you know, you could tie this to some of the other things. That makes me think of The Unwritten, which was a huge part of that.
Yeah, it's all, well, wasn't The Unwritten.
Which was certainly influenced by Neil.
Yeah, I mean, it was a Vertigo. wasn't that Mike Carey?
I think so.
Yeah, so yeah. Neil Gaiman said, there is one person I trust to write Lucifer. I will not write it. I want Mike Carey to write it.
Mm-hmm.
So he handpicked and mentored Mike Carey.
Mm-hmm.
So for Mike Carey to turn around and write Unwritten, he's just channeling his mentor.
Right.
So, I mean, it all makes sense. But yeah, I mean, we're only one episode out of 8 in, but I fucking love it already. We are going to check out Punisher next. I mean, still need to audition it to see.
Mm-hmm.
If it's too much action, I get to watch it on my own. Otherwise, Eric and I watch it together.
So there is one other thing I wanted to bring up.
Ooh.
And I'm getting super deep into nerdcore here. Not nerdcore rap, just
generally. We did a nerdcore episode, right?
So I've been reading a little old. I got back to the Comixology.
The
comics.
App?
I'm like reading them on the tablet. My gorgeous, giant 12-inch Samsung tablet, which is so good for reading comics, and it's such a shame they don't make those anymore.
Or as old.
Yeah, it's a couple of years old, but it's so good for this.
Just get an iPad Pro.
No. So I went back and I started reading some Doom Patrol comics.
Huh, I've heard of it. I never read it.
And this is a DC comic, and it's basically just one of the more gonzo DC comics that are out there.
Which is saying probably, something, because DC plays it safe historically.
DC does.
Yeah. Vertigo is their way to cut loose, but DC itself always played it safe.
Right, right. And then, interesting, I'll tie back into Vertigo for a second.
Okay.
So the Doom Patrol characters, and this is like the 80s, I think, version, mm-hmm. either 80s or 90s.
Because, yeah, there have been multiple iterations, right?
Yeah.
When did it start? Was it the 70s?
Gosh, I don't know, probably.
Okay.
Sorry, go on. I'm not gonna say anything with authority there.
Sorry.
But in this iteration, it takes characters with just weird abilities, except for like the kind of the main guy in the main character, who's just he's a guy that's in a robot body. It's like a human brain, robot body. All
right.
So he hits things. So he's the tank. But he's also like kind of the one who grounds things and like, what the hell is going on?
He's the voice of the audience.
Yeah, he's the voice of the audience. Yep. And just the weirdest shit goes on. One of the characters is called Crazy Jane, and she's really their take on Legion.
Okay.
Like,
super overpowered but mentally unstable.
Yes, exactly. Their take on Legion. Okay.
That's got to be starting soon.
The next season.
Yeah. Hmm. Go on.
Crazy. So Jane. Yeah, she's multiple personalities. Each personality has its own power and ability, and they're like freaky bizarre. So one of them actually changes into like a thing with a flaming head that shoots fireballs out of its head. It's.
I think I've seen pictures of that.
Probably. It's really out there. And they take on stuff that the other, like the more traditional superheroes, they even like show the superheroes just sort of like standing around like Superman's like, what the fuck are they doing? Like there's one where it's a painting that can take things over. They can eat things and the things become part of the painting.
Oh, wow.
So like the painting ends up eating Paris.
The city?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So like the whole city gets stuck inside this painting.
Whoa.
So then it's like just the middle of like a vast barren area, and the painting's on there on an easel, and and then the Doom Patrol gets into the painting because of course they're people on the team that can do stuff like that.
Of course.
And then, like, all these other superheroes.
At last, my ability to enter paintings finally comes in handy.
They just see where the superheroes are like, how do they do that? And they're like, they're in the painting looking out at the superheroes that are standing around watching.
Like, Superman's like, fuck, right. I'm out. Yeah, fuck this. Exactly. I'm out. Fuck you guys. This shit's too weird. You say Paris. God.
It's like that.
I'm going to my cave of solitude.
And they. Fortress. Yeah, they go on. These just really like meta sort of adventures or they fight really meta sort of villains. Like one of them is a fictional city in a book that starts leaking out into our world.
This just sounds like Sandman.
Okay.
All right, it's interesting.
It's interesting. I think it's pretty cool. I would recommend it if this sort of thing super weird take on a superhero comic appeals to you. And one of the episodes there's
the issues?
Excuse me. One of the story arcs. They have this British agent. He's wearing a trench coat, and he's very, very, very sarcastic, and he knows all about
magic
and stuff.
All right.
And I'm reading this, and like, this is clearly Constantine.
There's really no one else this could be.
I know. I'm like, this is how is this? But he's not. His name's something else. And I read about it a little bit, and there's like a section within the book that explains the character and how he got there.
Okay.
Or I read it somewhere. No, I must have looked it up. But apparently he was written as being Constantine.
But they couldn't get the rights?
Yeah, and DC was like, yeah, we can't have Vertigo characters in the DC product.
That's weird.
I know, it's weird. House, but that publisher. That was a rule that they had.
All right.
So like, okay, we'll just, we're not going to change this character. Because that's what we wanted in this, but we'll give him another name. But I mean, it's so obviously Constantine.
That's awesome.
So yeah, if that sort of thing appeals to you, definitely go out and find those Doom Patrol
volumes. Yeah. And Comixology is awesome. I mean, you can really access all comics, all the comics.
Yeah.
All the stuff you've always meant to read.
And honestly, I think, and so many nerds say this all the time, but I think Doom Patrol would be a great thing that DC could spin out, like a la Guardians of the Galaxy or something, or just put it on one of the like Netflix or wherever they're putting them. Not Netflix, but Hulu or something. Just to have that one, you know, this is an off thing.
Yeah.
It's not going to interfere with the main universe that they're establishing, but it could pick up a whole new bunch of viewers.
So let's talk about maybe. That a bit.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I get it. Let's talk about that a bit. So I have not seen
it. It could be their Legion is what I'm saying.
Okay, or it could be their Inhumans is my counter.
Mm.
Are you familiar with what's going on with that?
No.
It's basically shit from what I've heard. Like I was kind of excited for Inhumans because I watched all of S.H.I.E.L.D. I genuinely enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And Inhumans is apparently just crap.
Well, I've seen some of the previews here in Humans, and like, what? Okay, it doesn't look like anything
appealing. Right. It's like the characters aren't like likable, and they're not because they're royalty and they're superhumans and they're not, you know, they don't interact with humanity initially. So like, there's just like Shakespearean drama that you don't give a shit about for whatever. Mm-hmm. And then the CG's not good because it's a TV show and it's really CG dependent.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a teleporting dog, like, you know, it's like you got to really nail this shit to pull it off. So yeah, Guardians with the budget and the director it had
was
fucking killer. But the only let's really call it what it is. The only thing that most people agree on that's a good DC product is either the Batman standalone movies or like what Fox and what CW do. Because this whole
I've heard people that said that the Justice League movie was not terrible.
I've heard every...
And that's the highest praise I've heard for it. It's like, yeah, I didn't hate it. I didn't dislike it, especially.
Well, I mean, after Batman vs. Superman...
I haven't seen it, so...
I haven't either, but after Batman vs. Superman, that is pretty high praise. But did you hear that Whedon was forced to cut...
But Wonder Woman, I mean, come on.
Okay, but but Wonder Woman was not a Zack Snyder film.
Right.
Which is why it was good.
They just take this away from Zack Snyder. He's not
doing well. But did you hear that there's like the diehard faithful who are convinced there's a Zack Snyder cut of Justice League that's an hour longer and infinitely better, quote unquote, than what Joss Whedon put together? Yeah, so there's like this, the alt-right of the DC universe, who's like, give us back our Zack Snyder hardcore nonsense. We want that. And don't have Wonder Woman directed by a woman. That's not...
What the hell?
No, I'm making that up.
No, you're probably right on that. You're probably right.
I need Wonder Woman directed by a man. Yeah. I don't know. I'll see Justice League eventually, but I told you, the trailer's just... It just looks like a Zack Snyder movie.
Yeah.
Not high praise. It worked for 300 and maybe Sucker Punch. That's about as far as that mileage got.
We'll agree to disagree on Sucker Punch, even.
Look, Eric and I have had this argument with many people. And it's an interesting argument. Mm-hmm. I mean, when it gets into, like, well, what is female empowerment versus exploitation? Like, it's interesting. Unfortunately, my feeling on Sucker Punch has probably been heavily colored by Zack Snyder's later work.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, I don't think he actually was accomplishing any of the stuff we read into that. I think that was incidental, or us just putting it on there. Being, you know, East Coast intellectuals that we are. Maybe it's just an exploitative, not very good movie. That
Yes. But because you haven't seen that evolve in that direction in the...
In any of the shit he's done, yeah. Right? Yeah. So I'm just gonna probably leave Sucker Punch where it is, in a nice box of my memory from Brooklyn, and be like, I enjoyed it. We watched it again. I still enjoyed it. No one else seems to. That's fine. My wife and I will agree on that one and be on our island there. But yeah, Justice League does not look good. Did you see the trailer for Infinity War?
No. Yeah, I totally missed that.
It's very loud.
Well, I can imagine. Infinity War is going to be. Loud. Because lots of things will happen.
It's very contained to a very small set of characters. Uh-huh. The trailer.
Anybody die in the trailer?
No.
Okay.
Yet. Well, actually, no. Actually, one of them might. I don't know. What happens to Vision if you take his Infinity Stone?
I think that's pretty much what he is.
So he might die. But that's like not a big surprise because you know Thanos is coming for it.
Spoiler, people are probably going to die in Infinity War. Lots of them.
Well, that's not the spoiler. You could let go on that.
Yeah.
But the trailer has a stinger.
Oh, God.
And the stinger is the best part of the trailer.
All right.
Because it ties into our favorite franchise.
Oh, okay.
And ties into the end of the last Thor movie.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. But I'm not going to say anything else. So I would recommend watching it. Obviously, sit through the end of the trailer, Mike. Sit through the credits of the trailer.
Well, I could watch it now. We can immediately come back here and talk about it.
You want to?
Yeah, sure.
All right. And now you've seen the Infinity War trailer.
that was interesting. yeah, so having read Infinity Wars, kind of an idea where they're going with it.
Yeah, yeah. Doesn't look nearly as gonzo in 70s.
No. But I think it's going to be, you know, a very dark... Lots of bad stuff happening.
They have creative license based on the source material to really go all out.
Well, they have to. I mean, yeah. It's the
Infinity War.
So yeah, it was very, very doom and gloom, and probably a lot of bad stuff happening.
Mm-hmm.
I expect characters will be getting killed off.
Mm-hmm.
But then that stinger was great,
right? It really makes the trailer.
It does. It really does.
Because it's all doom and gloom, and then that.
And it is, yeah, that one very nice moment. Yeah, all right. Which is good. And God, going back to the source material, Infinity Wars is really going to need that. It's going to need that something to counterbalance all the like...
The just heaviness. Just
heavy, yeah. Heavy and weirdness.
It was they've cut back on the weirdness. Reading it after you did, it was so fucking strange. Just and like not
well a because good they like reached out to every like the deepest weirdest corners of the Marvel universe.
Yeah, the Watcher was there hanging out.
Yeah, Galactus and all the yeah. like the like giant
cosmic
conceptual characters.
Well, it did like the cosmic Marvel, which is the way weirder, which the Guardians are part of.
Yes.
But the way they've done it in the movies, it's not at all how like they approached it, which is good.
Yeah.
It's funny. You know, Guardians of the Galaxy is the goofy sci-fi thing,
mm-hmm.
rather than the weird cosmic Marvel bizarreness.
Right. So, I don't know.
And no Adam Warlock.
Yeah.
Anywhere in that trailer. But
they might save him for the second. What, is it going to be like three movies or something?
No, just one.
Just one?
Yeah.
What? I thought they were going to split this one up.
Nope. The second Avengers movie is now something different.
How are they going
to... I don't know. Secret Wars? You're going to go from Infinity Wars to Secret Wars?
That's
where Spider-Man got his suit, right?
All right. Yeah, the trailer looks good. Looks interesting. I'm obviously going to watch it.
There was like 70, supposed to be like 70 superheroes in the movie, and they showed like 10. So clearly they're holding a lot back.
Yeah, there are going to be some quick shots of people
probably just dying.
Yeah.
It's like, aw.
Yeah.
Hey, aw. What? Aw. It's a lot of that.
All right.
Is it time?
Oh, God. I guess it is.
All right. So we keep alluding to the vomit thing. So when I got my LG V30, which, by the way, extremely underratedly amazing phone. Just fucking fantastic phone. It came with a $200 gift card, which I'm still waiting on, which is going to help pay for half of my Google Home Max.
Mm-hmm.
It also came with a Daydream View, which is like a $70. If you're familiar with Google Cardboard, it's the way fancier version of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very ergonomic, comfy, multiple strapped VR apparatus.
It's just bursting with straps.
It's got a shit ton of straps. And you can actually take some of the straps off, believe it or not. But and the reason that this is not an Oculus Rift is because it's powered just like Google Calendar. It's powered just like Google Cardboard by the phone.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you need an even better phone for Daydream than you do for Cardboard.
Okay.
So you need an OLED screen. You need the, you know, like this, the Snapdragon 835 or whatever.
Which the V30 just happens to be.
What a surprise. And that's why they gave it to me.
I wonder if the V20 would work in that.
It
would probably too big.
It's not OLED.
What? Oh, yeah, you're right. I think you're right. Yeah.
And the thing that I actually do like about it, we've talked about VR. I'm not sold. But what I do like about this is it comes with a controller. So in terms of games, let me get it set up. In terms of games and interactions, it makes it a hell of a lot better.
As Mike just throws it to the ground.
Break it.
It makes it so much better.
I will smash. Hulk smash.
So is there just two buttons on this, or is this...
There's a touch-sensitive trackpad. That's also a click button.
Okay.
And then this is a menu button, and this is the home button. And it's also, what's really important, this lets you center it, because... Yeah, so it's already out of... There we go. Okay, so got it centered for you. So you can probably hear it a little bit. I do have the sound on.
Yeah.
So first, we're going to get this giant thing on your head.
Oh, my God. Should I take off my glasses, probably?
Yeah, it's got two lenses in it. I don't think you're going to need them. So we're going to probably need to do some adjusting. But I basically just want to see you freak out and describe what's happening.
Oh, wow. This is trippy, man.
Is it blurry? Do you see the controller? Isn't that cool? You can see...
What?
Can you see where... Look down. The controller should see its place.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, see? So find it without being able... So you can't see right now. See? Okay.
Okay.
Mike was just feeling around blindly. Is it centered to your field of view?
No, it stays... I can't, like, raise it up and see it.
Well, you can point it, though.
But I can point it.
You can point it. It's a laser pointer.
Oh, God.
Is it fairly
God.
Centered?
I am... Oh, there's like screens over here. I am so gonna throw up.
All right, let's see if we can recenter it.
No, it's fine. It's fine. What? Oh,
okay.
You're centering the
screens, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So first, I would go to. Oh, you know what? Here, let me. Is it blurry or?
It's a little blurry.
Okay, then it's got to be. It's probably got to be up a little bit.
No.
It's blurry unless you get it exactly right. That's my first problem with it. Play up and down a bit. Shift it up a bit. That we're just basically Smike's wearing a giant.
No, you're. I think that's as good as I can get it.
Okay.
I think part of it's just my glasses.
Oh, okay.
And your screen's a little smudgy.
No, it's like that. It's kind of fucked up, I think.
What?
They gave it to me for free. They apparently gave me shitty lenses. I've tried cleaning it multiple times.
Can I go up and see where this river goes? Oh, there's birds. birds are flying by. Anything behind me? There's rocks.
I mean, you're just in like a staging area. It's not that interesting.
Well, shut up, man. It's interesting to me. I'm standing in a bunch of rocks and I got like trees and shit. And there's a river going by. And
a river runs through it?
Yeah, there's a river running through and there's like a canyon down there. And I'm going to go see what's in the canyon.
I don't think you can walk. I think it's just a launch area for all the other apps.
Well, fuck. All right. So where's someplace I can walk?
Go to... I don't know. I don't think there's any... I don't think you're supposed to walk in VR.
What?
Because that's why you have a touch-sensitive pad so you can move around. Not in here, though.
How do I...
You're just stroking that controller.
Well, I'm trying to get through all of these different...
Yeah, there's different apps. If you go to Google Photos...
Oh, there we go.
Actually, okay, let's do the vomit stuff. So go to Google Photos on the bottom there. You see it? He's just looking around all over.
Yeah, I see photos.
Okay, so click. Click the mouse, the touchpad thing.
Oh, it got dark.
It's so dark.
Who turned out the lights? All right.
Just a reminder, Mike can't see anything with this on.
Okay. Are these pictures you've taken? Or these?
Some of them are, actually. It's pretty cool. It takes your panoramic shots and turns them into... Try to find the one on top of the mountain. There's like an Everest shot.
Whoa! Oh my God. I'm like on a skyscraper or something in a city.
Stand up. That's what really fucks with your head.
I'm so afraid.
I'll catch you. Like,
all right.
Just stay still. I'm going to move the chair back a little bit so you don't hit it. Okay, so Mike is standing. We are standing, folks.
I'm standing up.
So you're on a skyscraper?
I guess. There's something behind me. I must be like on a balcony or something in a hotel.
Can you look like straight down?
If I look behind me, it's dark.
I can't look straight down. That might be one of my photos. Oh, that might be one of my photos.
All right. So...
Find the one where there's a mountain.
I'm just going through them one at a time here. How does the menu go? Oh, menu just goes away after a minute. No, I'm in the street and there are there's like a... this is weird because there's like a fucked up pieces of a Google car or something driving by. This must be one of your photos. I don't know.
Are you on a bridge?
It's just strangely... No.
Oh. Okay.
Next one.
He's just like spinning in a circle. It's pretty funny to watch.
All right. I'm in another city. And no, get people around me.
Okay. Hit the menu button. Hit this one. No, not menu. Sorry. Home.
What? Stop. What am I looking for?
Find Everest.
Everest?
Yeah. You should see. And go back to the photos. And you should see a photo. If you scroll through, you'll see a photo of snow-capped mountains.
I'm trying to click things. I'm at a bridge. I'm looking at a bridge and there's people. Oh, I'm in San Francisco.
Yeah, you're on
the Golden Gate Bridge.
That's my photos on the Golden Gate Bridge.
There's somebody having some coffee right next to me. I can't.
Hey, you just slapped my dragon. Sorry. Are you all right? It's a pointy dragon.
I wanted some coffee and she's got some coffee. I'm trying to reach out and grab it because it looks so real. All right. Play area. Oh God, I'm surrounded by children. Just terrifying.
Oh, I know that picture. They're all in cars.
Why? Yes. Oh no. There are children all around me. Make it go away.
360 degrees of children.
I'm on a lake or something. I'm in your kitchen.
That's weird, right?
This is definitely your kitchen.
Oh yeah, yep. I did some panoramas.
I can touch the stove.
No, it's hot. Stop reaching out.
Ooh. Okay. Oh, now there's like sound with this one. This must be the Everest one you were talking about.
Can you look down?
Accompanying sound with it. I can't look straight down because it's blurry. Yeah,
it's a blurry circle.
I'm on a blurry disc.
Yes. You are floating on top of a blurry disc.
But I see clouds. I see a couple of people who have gotten out to this like the tip of a cliff. And, like, they're going to die, obviously.
Because, I've seen Cliffhanger. Yeah. I know.
I've seen this movie.
Are you getting vertigo?
Not really, because it's still a still thing.
Uh-huh.
And I think if there was movement in this, and I can't actually look all the way around in this, so that's kind of cool. This is a nice one. This is a well-done. This is obviously not something that you took.
No, I did not take the one from the top of the
Everest. Oh, if I look at this, That's cool.
What?
No, if I actually look down at the controller, yeah, I see what it. The buttons are.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, there are video games. I have games on there, too.
All right.
So,
what did I do?
So Smike has a giant VR thing, and he's looking at the controller, which he can see in virtual reality, but right. It looks like he's just looking at nothing.
What else? What did I do?
I got YouTube VR and got,
the giant.
That's YouTube? Not very good. YouTube VR is pretty cool. Because right. That's got videos. You can go diving with sharks.
I'm surprised I am not nauseous right now.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed.
I feel like I should be.
I'm really let down.
This will certainly do it.
Yes, what is it? Is it like a sky?
Oh ring? My god! Oh Jesus! Oh my god! I'm like in the Canadian version of the Thunderbirds, the jet. The Air Force jet stunt crew. Oh my, no. This is terrifying. Oh god. I'm gonna have to.
Eject! Smike, oh, eject! So...
No, I eject. I'm gonna fly up into the one that's above me. Ah. No, I'm literally in the cockpit. I can see the controller right, like the joystick. I'm in this dude's lap. Which is a little awkward, but he seems fine with it. And somehow he can see around me, so... Oh, God. We're going in a bad... We're, like, doing a barrel roll or something. Oh. Turn on... What language is this? I either Russian, Jack? Or are these... I thought this was Canadian. Oh, no, they're, like...
Swiss?
I think they're Swiss...
Are you alright?
Generally making me unsteady.
Alright. Maybe you should sit down. So Smike's hands are out.
I'm trying.
Alright.
I'm in this.
He's clenching. His fists are clenched.
So the Jets have like a plus sign on their tail. Yeah. I assume that's Swiss.
I think that's Swiss.
And we're about to crash into a mountain. So obviously this is Swiss.
Wait, what does that even mean?
Oh man. I wanna like do something, make him do something, or like do another barrel roll here. This is messing with me so much. We are upside down. I am
look
now...
up, look up, and look down at the ground.
Oh God, no! this is wrong, man. This is wrong. All right. I'm gonna bail. I'm just gonna want to do something else. No, I went too far here.
You've reached the end of virtual reality.
All right, I'm going to try one more of these things.
All right, what are you going to do?
One more of the YouTube VRs.
There's a cool one where you're swimming underwater. That's a cool one.
After being in a jet plane? I don't know, man.
Now I just have a taste for danger. Red I love Bull. How everyone who wears these just looks around right. Trepidatiously.
All right, this sounds exciting.
Red Bull?
Red Bull Racing. VR Create... All right, I'm in the
stock car.
I'm in the stock car. Am I facing the right way? I think so.
Is the road yeah, coming okay, or yeah. going?
We're taking off in a... Whoa!
You right?
Yeah.
You just reached back at nothing. I'm a little worried.
I know. I'm in a race car, and we are pulling out, and we're about to go really, really stupid fast. It's like... I should be sitting down, but I'm not.
I have my hand behind Smike because he keeps sort of looking, like, reaching backwards involuntarily.
Yeah, because we're going really fast when I'm standing up in a car. I'm crazy. You should never do this. You should never stand
Dude,
up in a race
car. Put your arms out. Do King of the World.
King of the World. Oh, oh my God. I do have my arms out, and it is very disconcerting for me to do so.
It is fantastic, and I'm getting a picture right now. This is amazing.
Ah!
Oh my god, I can't get a picture. It's too much.
I should... You can hear this, right?
Oh, yeah.
You can hear the engine screaming. Oh, man. This is so messed up.
Do you want to try sitting and seeing if it's any better? Yeah, let me get the chair ready.
Guide me to a chair.
Don't move.
Alright, I'm not moving. Okay. I'm terrified.
Right, take a step to the right. Step to the right.
Jump to the left.
Sit back. Slowly. There you go. I feel like
that
Smike
was a bad time because you know what's I think it's worse sitting down. somehow has made it worse.
Put your arms out. Drive.
I can't. This doesn't work for driving. This is a controller. No, I mean, like, just
pretend to grab the steering wheel.
No, I don't want to mess with him. He's going to crash if I do that.
Why is it always about crashing with you?
I don't want to crash.
Why are you looking at me? Anyway? Yeah, you can't even see where I am. You're looking
at me. It's like Quantum Leap. Ziggy, get me out of here. Oh, man. All right. Get out of there. Was there anything else in this that I should try?
I got my humor out of it.
All right. Back to the serene river here.
You survived. You survived virtual reality, my friend. I'm proud of you.
I thought for sure I was going to throw up because I do get motion sickness pretty easily. So
talk about your experience.
I was talking about my experience the whole time while I was experiencing it. The big problem is it's just blurry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's bad, you know, lenses. For something you got for free, and blurry.
Yeah, it.
Did you try? I mean, did you look at them to see if there's actually?
No, there seems to be like imperfections in them. Yeah, if you look, like the lenses look legitimately jacked. They just look like they're cheap lenses.
Yeah, the instant. Oh no, there's. Dummy.
Is there a film on them?
Yeah. Are you kidding me? There's protective film on these.
Well, yeah. Obviously. So Mike, do you want to go back in?
No.
Do you want to go back in?
No, fuck you. Oh, my God.
Listen, I left them there to save your life.
No, we'll try this. We'll try this afterwards, but right. How did you not notice that? Come on.
Because I never really pay that much attention. Yeah, the lenses look a lot better now. All right, so I now can recommend Daydream View, especially if you got it for free, and you remembered to take off the protective lenses on the inside.
It's just blue plastic that we just pulled off. They probably look great now.
Yeah, it's probably amazing.
So, no, actually, that was very cool.
It's definitely a notable step up from the cardboard.
Yeah.
Right? I think, and a controller really...
The controller helps. It would take me a little bit, not too long, but a little bit of time to get used to the controller.
Yeah.
But there's only like three things on it, so it's not...
Yeah. Although the fact that it's a touch-sensitive trackpad is nice. That's a mouse effect, which is nice.
Yeah. And I was surprised at how not nauseous I was. And I'm actually intrigued now.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And honestly, I really haven't tried more than Google Cardboard before this. And I've been one of the ones who's like saying forever.
You've been poo-pooing VR.
Oculus Rift VR garbage. Yep. And this may be something that's like the Wii originally was.
I feel like it probably is where it's a gimmick.
Like the first one to like 5 hours you experience is just
revolutionary,
amazing.
Yeah, yep.
And then after that, it's like, yeah, nah, okay.
And they are taking the same approach as the Wii, is there is a shit ton of content. Mm-hmm. There's interactive 360-degree stories where you're one of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
I have 5 different video games. One's like a Harry Potter wand dueling game.
Mm-hmm.
All sorts of shit. Pardon me. Obviously, interactive pictures, make your own movies, lots of stuff on YouTube, VR.
So if it's something that you can get and you can try for minimal or free expense, then yeah, I would definitely recommend that.
I've spent $0 on this. I have 5 games that are come up to about $100 if you actually bought them.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the Daydream View, which is about $70, and I've spent nothing because it all came with the phone.
Okay.
So it's a win to me.
If you can get like a really good deal on this for somebody for Christmas, but you'd have to know if they have a phone that's compatible with
it. They need a Daydream compatible phone. That is a requirement. Yeah. To get the full, you can take a cardboard experience and have that here, but it's not going to be on par.
Right.
So because this uses, the controller uses near field communication, although really most higher end phones do that now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's NFC. But yeah,
I wonder if you can use if you can just get the controller and use that with a regular cardboard setup. Because it seems to be the only thing.
It would need to have motion sensing and haptic feedback, but probably. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, just be careful. It's a cool thing. I think it would make a really good Christmas gift. But there's a lot of this stuff out there right now. There's a lot of like low-end, garbagey-looking VR, put your phone in it headsets out there.
Oh yeah, and people are charging like up to $20 for a cardboard headset, and I'm like, guys, that's not cool.
So you know, be careful. Do your homework. Know exactly what you're getting if you want to get it for somebody. But I'm probably preaching the choir if whoever's. Based on who I think is probably listening to this.
Right. But if you have a Daydream compatible phone, and you can look those up, it's very easy to figure out what ones are there. This is the Daydream View. Again, it runs about 70. I'm sure there are ways to get it cheaper, if not free, like I did.
Or so just wait till after Christmas. And they'll just be shoveling them out.
Or just wait for all the old people who are like, I don't know what, my grandson got me this. Yes. Ah, here's a 10 bucks. Give me 10 bucks.
There we go. But, perfect.
Yeah, it's... most of the games I found to be gimmicky and not that great. Mm-hmm. I think that's like an Oculus Rift thing. Like that's going to be doing gaming a lot better.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, I haven't spent a lot of time on it. It didn't like super appeal to me, to be honest. But like in the time I spent, I'm like, okay, this is a evolutionary leap over cardboard. Mm-hmm. It's entertaining. Yeah. It's infinitely more entertaining to watch you in it and just mock you.
This is just something you break out of the party and say, hey, Mike hasn't done this yet. Throw him, shove him on his face. Yeah.
This is the, it's the electrocution game. The electric shock.
Oh,
game.
Yeah.
It's just another one of those. Hey, you get sick easily, right? Here, try this. But yeah, interesting, I guess.
All right.
You survived. High five.
I did.
I had a fresh garbage.
Do you have a bucket ready for me?
I do. Yeah, nice. Everything ready to go. Nice.
Good call. Good call.
You know, so,
thumbs up on the drink. Thumbs up on the VR, honestly.
Better experience than you expected.
Yeah. Except for being blurry, but that's your fault.
No, that's Google's fault for putting film on their lenses. I am really glad because I was like, really, guys? Really? These lenses are shit. No, they're great. I'm just shitty at. Maybe I needed lenses to see that there is a film on the lenses. We are buddies in space. You are.
S. Michael Smith, and you are.
M. Michael Carassi. Take it away, Melanie.
Buddies in Space is a Stolen Dress Entertainment production. Visit stolendress.com to check out other Stolen Dress podcasts, blogs, tweets, videos, and books.
So yeah, since you have access, you should check out those Doom Patrols and the Comixology.
Oh, I think I... Yeah, okay. I'm going to need to log back in.
I can set you up.
Okay. Because we turned the iPad into a Simon Travel. Only for planes. I'm totally cool with this. I'm totally down with it. Eric is staunchly against like sticking a tablet in front of him when we travel mm-hmm. in the car or at the grocery store. We just don't do it.
Yeah. Good.
But.
Because it's too damn easy.
Extremely. And you know, the average kid apparently watches 7 hours of screen time. Not TV. Screen time.
You mean a day?
A day. They recommend 2 and only like slow moving television. Ugh. But it's so easy and the phones are so big and colorful and every kid wants them.
Yeah.
Simon's going to be really behind on the whole tablet phone thing because we're so not into that. Granted, we let him watch TV shows that I'm sure many parents would be like, you let your kid watch Ninja Turtles? He's 3. I'm like, he likes Shredder. He really likes Mike. He goes around. So there's a Super Shredder episode where Shredder gets mutagen and then like grows spikes. Like he turns into his armor, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So the next day, Simon comes up to me, and he just looks at me. And I knew he wanted to play with me, so I was just waiting for him to initiate whatever game he was going to. You know, he always throws out rules mm-hmm. to a game. And he just, like, flexes backwards, really awkward, and he goes, ugh! And I'm like, it's like something going to burst out of your chest? What the fuck is going on? And I was like, are you all right, buddy? And he goes, oh, I'm just making my spikes come out. I'm Super Shredder. And he was, like, trying to flex and grunt spikes out.
Nice.
And I'm like... You're definitely watching too much Ninja Turtles. But he only gets 2 hours of TV time a day.
All right.
But anyway, we turned his iPad when we flew to Florida last year. I turned it into a movie-only device because it's old and doesn't have a lot of storage.
But it's like an iPad Air, right?
No.
No, I thought
it was the first iPad with a Retina display. So it's third-gen iPad. It's old. It's so heavy. Ugh. Oh, my God. First world problems.
Oh, jeez.